You have your Bibles with you, and I know the third graders do, right? If you would open your Bibles, it's okay to bring a Bible to church, by the way. It's okay. And if you don't, there's a should be a pew Bible in the rack in front of you today. We're going to look at a story, a familiar story, in John's Gospel, chapter 2. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are the Gospel writers, of course, and John's Gospel is a little different than Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Sometimes we call that the Synoptic Gospels because they're similar. John tells the story a little bit different. And he is the only of the Gospel writers who tells the story that is our story for this morning, where Jesus, his mother, and his disciples make their way to a wedding in Cana of Galilee. And so here are the words. On the third day, I'm going to stop right there. Is that okay? On the third day, if you really want to understand the Gospel of John, here's what you do. You get an onion, and you peel back a layer, and there's a deeper layer. And every time you peel back, it gets deeper and deeper. John, from the very beginning, is teaching us about something. On the third day, does anyone ever know that something else happens on a third day? It's just, the Bible is great. Anyway, on the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples had been invited to the wedding. When the wine gave out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman," I love that, "woman, what concern is that to you? And to me, my hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you to do." Now standing there were six stone water jars for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to them, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them up to the brim. That would have been the 30-gallon brim. He said to them, "Now draw some out, take it to the chief steward." So they took it. When the steward tasted the water that had become wine and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the steward called the bridegroom over and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first and then the inferior wine after the guests have become drunk. But you have kept the good wine until now." Jesus did this, the first of his signs in Cana of Galilee, and revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. Friends, this is the word of God for us, the children of God, for which we can say, thanks be to God. Let's pray together. God, would you speak to us today? Would you help us to understand what this passage is all about? Would you help us to peel back the layers of it so that we can understand how Mary simply sees a need and turns to Jesus and asks for it, and how that might be what we do as well? See a need and ask for help. God, bless us. Bless this preacher this morning. Bless all within the ear who can hear my words, because they're your words. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. I wonder this morning if you have ever said these words to anybody, "I need help." You ever said those words? "I need help." I wonder if you've ever prayed them to our loving God. "I need help." Or as I like to say, "Help me, Jesus. I need help." I have said those words. I'll say this morning as our sermon begins, it's been quite a year for me and my family. About this time last year, I was planning Lent and Easter services for a church in Northwest Arkansas where I was serving at the time. Our denominational general conference was looming. My mother's health was declining. Questions about my health were circulating. I was fine, by the way. And I was praying, "Help me, Jesus." In a move that came unexpectedly, I was given some time to take care of myself. My appointment time in Springdale ended on July the 7th, and 2 days later, my mom died. It's been quite a year. And in that time, in those 6 weeks, we packed the house, we moved, we unpacked the house, we said bye to our dog who died, we sent our daughter to college. Doesn't this sound like a country music song? And all the while, I'm saying to my God, "Help me, Jesus. Help me." And Jesus did. Amen. I love the words of the 121st Psalm. It goes like this. "I lift my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord." Those hills must have been the Ozarks for me in Mountain Home. The help I received was from our loving God. And Daniel and I switched places. He's doing great there, and I hope you think I'm doing great here because I love it here. But I have prayed many times, haven't you? I need help. It's the petition in Max Licato's pocket prayer that we handed out those little cards. And ushers, if we have any of those little cards left and people haven't gotten them, we want to make sure that you get one of those. And if we run out, we'll send you one. It's a little pocket prayer that Max Licato writes in his book, Before Amen, where this series inspiration comes from. And here's the prayer. "Father, you are good. I need help. Heal me and forgive me. They need help." That's next week's sermon, by the way. "Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen." Isn't that a great prayer? I hope you've been praying it this week. Today, I want us to think about that second petition. I need help. A lot of nights when I go to bed and say my prayers, I simply ask, "Help me, Jesus." Isn't that a good prayer? Help me, Jesus. Right? I looked it up. The word help or helping or helper, some version of it is used 366 times in the version of the Bible that I use. That's a lot of times, isn't it? That's once for every day and an extra one if you need it. I was surprised to find out that it's only used 42 times in the New Testament. I thought there would be more, actually. The Psalms, the hymn book of the church, has the word help 50 times. Twice in the passage I quoted for you, "I lift my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord." In Mark chapter 9, verse 22, there is a story of a mother and a father who take their son to Jesus because he has been having seizures, and they throw him into the water and into the fire. And they say, "But if you are able to do anything," Jesus, are you able to do anything? Did you hear that, choir? "Have pity and help us." And of course, Jesus did. There's a different kind of help that is needed in our scripture lesson for this morning, though. The familiar story of Jesus, his mother, and his 12 disciples attending a wedding in Cana of Galilee. You might think, what kind of help is needed? Maybe the preacher passes out and Jesus stands in and does the ceremony. It's not that kind of help. We use these words all the time in the wedding ritual of our church. I've said it 100 times, it seems like. with his presence and power, Jesus Christ graced a wedding in Cana of Galilee. So let's take a little deeper look at this story today. We don't know whose wedding it was. The Bible doesn't say if it was a religious leader's son or a king's daughter. We don't know. We do know that Jesus was invited, his disciples were invited, his mother was invited. I kind of think it was a family wedding, perhaps. I mean, I don't know. Who knows for sure? We're not told that at all. What we do know is that it got to a point in the night when the wine was running out. Now, a little context here. Is that okay? A little context here. If you go to a wedding today, the ceremony will last, I don't know, 15 minutes or 30 or 45 maybe. And then you go to the reception, and then you get to sleep in your own bed that night. In the days of Jesus, a wedding would have lasted anywhere between 3 and 7 days. Can you imagine? 3 and 7 days. If you are wealthy, they would last 7 days. So not just the ceremony, but the party. Hospitality was huge in that day. So running out of wine would have been social suicide. It would have been unacceptable. It would have been considered bad planning. But that's what's happening. And Mary says 4 words to Jesus. They have no wine. Max Licato, in his book, Before Amen, points out some things about Mary. He says nobody knew Jesus better on earth than Mary. Nobody. She carried him for 9 months. She watched as he took his first steps. She listened as he said his first words. And she knew because the angel had said that God has big plans for him. So she says 4 words to him. They have no wine. Right? Mary wasn't bossy when she said it. She didn't blame anybody when she said it. She didn't try to fix the problem. She wasn't critical. She didn't say something like, "Can you believe they ran out of wine? How embarrassing." That's not what she did. She just turned to Jesus and she said, "They have no wine." And I love what Jesus says. "Woman, what concern is that to you or to me? My time has not yet come." I can just imagine what my mom would say if I turned to her at a wedding and said, "Woman." But what I want you to concentrate on is the second part of that. My hour has not yet come. It's about to. Mary says to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you to do." About this hour that has not yet come. It is the beginning of the ministry of Jesus Christ, the hour of the beginning of his ministry. If you look in John 1, what you get, we read it at Christmas, is a wonderful prologue, a beginning. In the beginning, you remember these words? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God from the very beginning. The light shines in darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. John testifies to Jesus. Jesus calls his disciples, but that's it. Then comes chapter 2, where he changes the water into wine, the first of 7 miracles in the Gospel of John. Are y'all with me today? Except John doesn't call them miracles. John calls them signs, and there are only 7 of them. There are only 7 of them. And here are the 7. He changes water into wine. He heals a noble man's son. He heals a paralyzed man. He feeds 5,000. He walks on water. He gives sight to a man who was born blind, and he raises Lazarus from the dead. That's all of them. That's all you get. And each sign, or as we might call them miracles, each sign says that Jesus came to help us, but also that Jesus came to save us. So each sign, each miracle, as we like to call them, points and says, this is who Jesus is, and this is why he came, right? So Jesus, first and foremost, came to save us, but he also came to help us when things seemed desperate, right? So there was a cluster of water pots there for the purpose of purification. So Jesus instructs the stewards to fill the jars with water up to the brim, and they do so, and they draw some of that water out, and they take it to the chief wedding steward, and he sips it. Now, I want you to understand this. I'm not good at math. I don't like to do it in public. But somebody has suggested that all that wine would have become 908 bottles of wine. That's a lot of wine, isn't it? And that's a lot of wine. Problem solved. Plenty of wedding wine to go around. But the story ends with this. Jesus did this, the first of his signs in Cana of Galilee, and revealed his glory. You see, he didn't just change water into wine. He revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. What I want you to think about today is this. Be like Mary. Be like Mary. Take a problem, your problem, any problem, to Jesus and say, I need help. Don't take your problem out on somebody else. Don't fret over that problem. Don't let anxiety take over. The moment you realize you need help, ask Jesus for help. Amen? It's what we are to do. Pray this petition in our pocket prayer. That's hard to say quickly, isn't it? I need help. The Apostle Paul writes to the church at Philippi, and he says this, do not worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God your needs and thank him for the answers. And Paul goes on to say, and the peace that passes understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You go to God in prayer, you ask for that, and peace comes. Peter wrote a letter or two in the Bible, and 1 Peter 5:7 records this word, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. That's a good one, isn't it? But I love Matthew 11:28-30, where Jesus says, come to me, all of you who are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. I like that. Let's try this as we finish out our sermon today. In the pocket prayer, we say, Father, you are good. I need help. Stop right there. Focus on that. I need help. And now, tell God what you need help with. Give it to him. Tell him what you're struggling with. And once you ask for it, guess what? Help is on the way. Help is on the way. It might be the help is on the way by a peace that passes all understanding. Choir, right? It might be that a friend comes and puts their arms around you and says, I'm with you in this. We'll walk this word together. Help may be on the way. You get a chance to serve a great new church like this one, right? A fresh start is always good. What is the same in this story as we pray for is simply this. Help is on the way. This week, I want you to take out that pocket prayer. And when you get to the phrase that says, I need help, stop and say, Jesus, this is where I need help. Think about that all week. He goes on to say, heal me and forgive me. And then next week, they need help. That's how we pray for others.